Our scripture reading is from the New Testament, the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, and we'll read the first 17 verses. Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Hear the word of the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So far, those scriptures from Colossians. And then we go to Galatians chapter 5. In my own church in Calgary, I'm presently doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought to preach one of those, the last one last week. I'll read the whole section, though, 22 to 25 or 26. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this evening, I want to think about the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And when we do that, we acknowledge Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is triune. But we don't only acknowledge that. We acknowledge that God triune is very great in His works and ways, and most gracious as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's worship the Lord in confessing together the Apostles' Creed. I believe... You say it together, you stand it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In response to the preaching, let's sing together Psalter 236. All the stanza, based on Psalm 86, Psalter 236. it is fitting, dear congregation belonging to Christ, that in the Thanksgiving sermon following the Lord's Supper celebration, we have a sermon this evening on the fruit of the Spirit. How now, as Christians, having testified of Christ and communed with Him at His table, how now shall we live to God's praise? That's the focus of a post-communion Thanksgiving sermon. And Paul would say, live and walk in the Spirit of Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. This afternoon's sermon is about the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, the fourth fruit mentioned in that ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. I had to smile last week when I preached this in Calgary. Someone said to me before the service, all week I could hardly wait for you to preach on patience and long-suffering. Let's immediately realize that being long-suffering and patience are indeed very linked together. It's good to remember this about patience, that really patience, and I think that's what this person meant when he said, I really want to hear about this, because he was struggling with being patient in life. Patience is really about being long-suffering. If you won't be about being long-suffering, you won't be about being patient in life's journey. Well, in the last sermon, I preached on the fruit of the Spirit in my church, which was on the fruit of peace. Before this sermon, with the fruit of peace, I made 5 points using the letters of the word peace for the structure of the sermon. Well, you would have to be long-suffering if I now would make 13 points on the fruit of long-suffering using the letters of that word for the structure of this sermon. But don't worry, I won't be doing that. Instead, I plan to just ask 4 questions in connection with this fruit of the Spirit. First, what is this fruit, long-suffering? Second, why is it the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering? Third, how does it become by the Spirit a fruit that we may have in our lives? And fourth, how and why is it important even for us as confessing Christians to have this fruit of long-suffering? So first then, what is this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering? And here let me tell you a story I came across. A teacher had just finished putting the last pair of rain boots on her first graders, 32 pairs in all. The last girl said, teacher, you know what? These aren't my rain boots. The teacher then removed those rain boots from the girl's feet. But the little girl continued, they are my sister's, and she let me wear them. The teacher then quietly put them back on her student. Now, commented the writer of this story, that's patience, or being long-suffering. And I tell this story because immediately it makes clear to us something of the nature of our subject, this fruit of long-suffering. In the original, the first part of the word, long-suffering, is makro, and the second part of the word is thumos, meaning literally macro-tempered, long-tempered, having mighty macro-restraint and control in the face of difficulty and frustration and trial. When you are long-suffering, you are slow to anger, as the Bible tells us our long-suffering God is in His character. Long-suffering. The opposite of being long-suffering is having a short fuse and being quick to react in an impatient, frustrated, angry, short-tempered manner in a stressful, challenging situation. For myself, the last couple of weeks, I had some major computer problems. And my wife will tell you, I wasn't always very long-suffering in view of that. The fruit of long-suffering is exactly what the Word says. The gracious, powerful capacity to suffer long. Under adversity, under setback, under frustration and trial. It's that noble ability to bear with either difficult or irksome people or troublesome and difficult circumstances without breaking down, without lashing out in impatience. It's a generous willingness to try to understand the awkward people or those disturbing events and those irritants that we meet with in life's brief earthly journey. Being long-suffering is about remaining steadfast under strain. And not just standing still, but pressing on and forward anyways. Long-suffering is that beautiful perseverance that produces positive results, even under opposition and suffering. Long-suffering and endurance, if you check the scriptures, often go together. Long-suffering is about enduring faithfully to God's praise. When you are long-suffering, you suffer long, and you're willing to do so rather than to fly off the handle, as the expression goes. Long-suffering, when you have this fruit, you bear with people graciously, patiently, kindly, lovingly. And you bear with afflictions and trials gracefully, without murmuring and complaining, becoming bitter and angry. No, but trying to look for the positive and highlighting that, regardless the situation. It should be understood that the fruit of long-suffering doesn't mean ever tolerating or excusing any sin or evil, but always responding to all sin and evil in a Christ-like manner, in the way of holy compassion, and with clear godly direction and admonition in a spirit of gentleness and all humility. Being long-suffering doesn't mean being blind to sin, but dealing with sin with a tear and with trembling, knowing that you ourselves are capable of falling into grievous sin as well. Well, here we need to say, don't we? Any honest person will agree with this. To be consistently and increasingly long-suffering doesn't happen without also being self-denying again and again. Saying that should also make us realize and understand being long-suffering, this fruit is not something we have of ourselves. It is not just a natural characteristic. Not a natural characteristic of the natural man. No. It is true, certainly, that in our disposition as human beings, also here in Brantford, one is by character, no doubt, more patient than another. Or by character, more short-tempered rather than long-tempered. But when we speak of long-suffering, as given in our text, Galatians 5:22, we are not speaking of simply a natural inclination or a genetic characteristic of someone, but we are speaking of the fruit of the Spirit worked in the heart and life of humans, sinners as we are by nature, worked by God's Spirit and grace in our lives. And the fact is, you can be patient by character and yet not show forth the fruit of long suffering. And on the other hand, you can be short-tempered as a person and yet have the beginning of that fruit developed by the Spirit, that fruit of long-suffering. Before we go on here, it will be good just to mention a few verses that emphasize this as part of the Christian's calling to exercise this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. You'd be amazed how often it's in the Bible. In James 5 verse 8, the Apostle James calls Christians to be patient. And he uses the same word there as we have in Galatians 5:22, makrothumia, be long-suffering. This is our calling, dear congregation, as confessing Christians, especially with other people, in our relationships, and in tough and rough situations and circumstances, to be long-suffering. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. And how so then? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In like manner, Paul speaks in Colossians 1, verse 10 and 11, calling for Christians that we walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for what? For all patience and long-suffering with joy. In the same letter, in the passage we read from chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 12, we read it, Paul urges, doesn't he, inspired by the Spirit, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, etc. Paul speaks similarly to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. You know the words. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And he says to Timothy in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 10, he says how Timothy was right in that he carefully followed, he says, you carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, and long suffering, and love, and perseverance. With those scriptures I just gave you, there's a couple of them that have both patience and long suffering as two different terms. And we can say really that long suffering and patience, they're linked together, but long suffering is continuing steadfastly in patiently bearing whatever you need to bear. Perseverance is about steadfastly being patient in life's journey, in our relationships and in our situations. Well, from all this, do you see with me, we learn, don't we, long suffering, this fruit of the Spirit is about the grace to bear long with trial and challenge. And not to give in to despair or to grumble and to complain, or worse, to lash out in a temper, an angry temper, under the heat. No. Long suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. This is a fruit which God's people, as confessing Christians, are called to demonstrate and exercise in their lives. Can you think of people of God in the Bible who really showed this fruit? Can you think of some examples? I think of Joseph with his brothers and his trials in Egypt. He was long suffering. I think of David with King Saul. Those many years when he was chased here and there. David was long suffering, trusting God still. I think of Job with his friends and with all that he went through with Satan's attacks against him. I think of Paul with all that he endured. But mostly, of course, we should think of who? We should think of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how long suffering and patient Jesus showed himself in all his earthly life. Isn't that true? When here on earth? How long suffering with his disciples. How long suffering in so many ways with so many. More about this will be said a little later. At this point, let me simply ask, do you have this fruit of long suffering in your life? Who here can tell more examples in his or her life showing lack of long suffering than being long suffering? Too often, I can be not long suffering. But this brings us to our second point now. Our second question really, having spoken about what is this fruit of long-suffering, this fruit of the Spirit, we ask next, why is it a fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit especially? And here I have a three-part answer to this question. And the first part is that with the natural man, fallen in Adam and born in sin, any good and gracious, God-honoring qualities and love-promoting qualities and graces are just not to be found, are they? With us by nature. As sinners by nature, we are not inclined to be self-denying, but self-demanding. We are not inclined to be sacrificial towards others, but selfish over against others. By nature too, a person doesn't think long-term, but short-term only. And of ourselves, we people look for and want and even demand instantaneous results and responses to our wishes and our situations. We live in a world of instant gratification demands, where increasingly we think that is something that we are entitled to even, in every way, with everything, even from our instant coffee to anything else you want to mention. The sinful history of mankind is all about man left to himself or herself not being able to be long-suffering in the long run. Do you know of yourself that left to yourself, you are not one with the grace of long-suffering and patience and forbearance and steadfastness and perseverance and endurance in the ways and will of God? If endurance in the race and a faithful, long-suffering mindset and behavior towards others was dependent on ourselves, what would become of it? Very little. And nothing indeed. Miserable would be and are the results if it should depend on us. But here is the gospel again, you see. The great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the fruit of the Spirit. This long suffering. This long suffering fruit is something we are incapable of from sinful self. But it is something God can and does work by His Spirit and Word in His people's lives. As many as trust and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Today we think of Pentecost. Pentecost isn't only so great because the Spirit awakens sinners and brings them to Christ. But it's so great because the Spirit also leads His people more and more in the way of Christ and to learn the character of Christ and to receive and reflect that character of Christ. Long-suffering is the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit represents God, God in Christ Jesus. And He's out to have God's people reflect God, God in Christ Jesus. He's out to have us be image bearers in the fullest sense. Also reflecting long-suffering. That God is long-suffering is not hard to prove, is it? That God is long-suffering. Can you prove that God is long-suffering? If I asked you to prove it, could you prove it? How about it? Those of you who are in high school, could you write a little paper for me to prove God is long-suffering without doing too much research? Let me just give you a couple of references. Think of the Lord giving 120 years in the time when the world was so wicked with the building of the ark. Giving time for people to repent before the deluge of the global flood and the righteous judgment of God. 120 years. It's a long time. God is long-suffering. Think of a passage like Hosea chapter 11 and really the whole book telling of God's long-suffering towards the repeatedly rebellious, adulterous, wayward Israelites. That chapter, Hosea 11, and the whole book, in fact, proclaims the Lord's slowness to anger towards His wayward people and how God did not want to come in holy, righteous wrath against them, but He would again and again be merciful towards them. Psalm 78, which we read from this morning, is a psalm written and included in the Bible where God urges in long-suffering care towards us. Don't be like the unbelieving, rebellious Israelites. Don't speak against me. Speak for me. Don't be always doubting and questioning me. I can prepare a table in the wilderness. That's God's long-suffering that He so ministers to us and would teach us through His Word. In Psalm 86, verse 15, David testifies about God. You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. In 2 Peter 3, the apostle tells how God is long-suffering towards this whole world even, in this whole post-New Testament age. He's delaying Jesus' second coming from a human perspective because of not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think of how long-suffering Jesus showed himself to the Samaritans and to the Jews and to the disciples and to Peter and even to Judas, who when he betrayed Jesus with a kiss, the Savior responded with, "Friend, why have you come?" Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16. "I obtained mercy," he says. He was a persecutor. He was a trained Jew who didn't see the light, who rebelled against God. "I obtained mercy," he says, "that in me first Jesus Christ might show" what? "Show all long suffering as a pattern or as an example, an encouragement, you might say, to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Paul says, "I'm a product of all long suffering from God." And every sinner living still today, and every saved sinner most certainly is a recipient of so much ongoing long suffering from God that it's impossible to tell and to measure thereof the extent of God's long suffering towards us, considering all our sins and sinfulness, both before and after conversion. How good when someone should say, "Prove to me God is long-suffering," that you would step forward and say, "That God will have any dealings with me proves He's a long-suffering God." God is long-suffering towards sinners and to His people, as many as trust and follow Him, especially all on account of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gospel is, isn't it? Jesus endured the holy wrath of God against sin as substitute of sinners for sinners. All God's long suffering towards sinful man in all the history of the world is on account of Jesus' person and work as Savior of sinners. There was no long suffering for Jesus, God's own beloved Son, when He came here to this earth. And just after 33 years here on this world, He came to face eternal judgment for sin, you know. Sin not His own. And through His perfect, almighty work, through His perfectly enduring the wrath of God, while at the same time perfectly offering to God a holy life on sinners' behalf, through Him, God can and may be endlessly long-suffering towards us. And He may spread a table in our wilderness for as long as our lives shall last. The long-suffering fruit God works in His people by His Spirit and Word through the gospel, showing you Jesus in His long-suffering grace and mercy towards sinners like us. And we read in the Bible, when Paul says in Romans 5, when he talks about Christians being long-suffering and growing and being patient, you know what Paul does in that very context? He points us to God. And he says in Romans 15, verse 5, that he calls God the God of patience and comfort to guide us, to help us, also in growing, in being long-suffering and patient in life's journey. God is long-suffering towards us, even as He teaches us to be long-suffering. So why is this fruit of the long-suffering, fruit of long-suffering, a fruit of the Spirit? Because one, it can never be something we produce of ourselves as sinners. And two, because it is what God is all about, being long-suffering, especially also as revealed in the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly still, this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is the fruit of the Spirit because, we remember that today, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, And he's sent forth exactly for this reason, to minister and to apply the salvation of God. And to work with saving and sanctifying effects and fruits in our lives by means of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. Praise God for the third person of the Holy Godhead, the blessed divine agent of salvation and sanctification. The Holy Spirit delights ever to take of the things of Christ and to show them to us and to apply them to us and to give them to us, to work them in our lives, even for all who trust the gospel and are joined to Christ by a true and living faith. The Holy Spirit is out to draw sinners to Christ and to make God's people saved by grace to become also Christ-like, truly and more so. And so he will also have us learn becoming long-suffering. This fruit of being long-suffering is all part and parcel of the Holy Spirit's precious ministry to that end in our lives. I say how we should be ever thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit, who is so desperately needed, not only in order to become saved, but also for us to live as those who are saved to God's praise and honor and for our neighbor's good. Do you praise and love the Holy Spirit together with the Father and the Son? Do you pray also that the Holy Spirit so bless you also with this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering in life's journey? Here we come to our third main point, dealing with the question, how does the fruit of long-suffering become by the Spirit a fruit in our lives? That's a good question, isn't it? How does it become a fruit in our lives? It's an important question. It's a practical question. And we can answer this question by stating the Holy Spirit works this fruit in the way of working faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a relationship of faith and repentance before God in Christ. In this way, God works long-suffering, the fruit of long-suffering in us. Let me explain. When you are once and again conscious by the Spirit how undeserved is the least measure of God's long-suffering towards you, when you realize you don't deserve any long-suffering from God because of your sins and sinfulness, it can serve to make you so tender and long-suffering and soft and broken, not only before God, but before others. And also when dealing with difficult circumstances and trials. What I mean is, when you see something of God's long-suffering goodness towards you, an undeserving sinner, it melts you. That's one thing on the one hand. And when the Holy Spirit shows you by the Word how beautifully steadfastly long-suffering our Savior God is towards us, oh, it thrills your soul. And it results in you also wanting to become long-suffering towards others. It's a byproduct of the Spirit's ministry in our lives. You become tender towards others. Linked with this, with Spirit-worked faith in God as our refuge and strength, is also the trust that develops that, you know what, God can and does work all things out together for good in our lives, in His hands. And that even difficult relationships, difficult people, or irksome, troublesome situations, or great trials, we trust, as much as we can't figure them out sometimes, we learn to trust that they may be intended by our God for some good purposes, which we don't ourselves understand even. And when you realize this by faith, it helps you deal in a spirit of long suffering with the challenge, relationship-wise, trial-wise, whatever it be. How true what John Calvin said in this regard, and I quote, "Patience or long suffering is the fruit and proof of faith." It's the fruit and proof of faith, Spirit-worked faith. And here we learn again, don't we? The fruit of long-suffering is a Christian grace, linked with hope and trust in the Lord and His power and His good purposes in our lives. Being long-suffering as fruit of the Spirit means again and again submitting whatever irksome, difficult, frustrating or disappointing person or relationship or situation you may be in. You learn to ask God, for Jesus' sake, to bless you still and to make you a blessing in spite of the trial, in spite of the difficulty, and to somehow work good by means of it or through it for yourself or for others or for both. Johnny Erickson Tada, many of you will know her. She suffered very much. She's still alive. She said wisely in this regard, quote, "The times we find ourselves having to wait on others or to be long-suffering towards them for whatever reason," she says, "may be the perfect opportunities to train ourselves to wait on the Lord, to wait on the Lord, and to remember His long-suffering towards us." And that'll help you be long-suffering as you continue in life's journey. It is interesting in this regard that James says in James 5, the text we already quoted, "You also be patient." Long-suffering is the word literally. "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord," he says, "is at hand." Ultimately, you see, God will take care of everything. This is what God works in His people's lives, this faith, this trust. God will take care of everything, and we can leave matters in His hands. And the trials now, or the difficult circumstances or relationships with others, will soon enough be over. The all-important point in life's journey is not that we are happy and have everything our way. No, but that God be glorified in all our life's journey and relationships and challenges. Well, the most ripe and mature believer among us has yet so much more, surely also here in Brantford, to learn of knowing and showing this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, in our lives. Thanks be to God, Triune. He is long-suffering in teaching us to be long-suffering. He knows we are slow to learn, but He's long-suffering, even in teaching us. Are you not convicted, too, how often we fail in being God-exaltingly long-suffering? Praise God, this is what I'm sure of, being long-suffering. Praise God is the fruit of the Spirit that gives hope. Even for someone who says, "I don't know if I'll ever learn." Yes, you can. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit's almighty. And He works continually and faithfully. The Holy Spirit works this fruit of long-suffering by guiding us in faith and humility. And with giving us an eternal perspective in life. So many times, you know, so much that we can get so very bent out of shape about, get so upset about, often it's of such little importance and significance in terms of eternity and in terms of what really counts. I remember, it's not maybe not a good example, but I remember my father one time, we were taught that you sit on all four legs of the chair. And one of my brothers leaned back on the chair at the supper table and the chair broke. And in those days, chairs were hard to come by. And the chair broke and my father lost it. He got so bad. I thought he was going to almost kill my brother. Well, later on, my father realized, well, he had a reason to be angry, but he did get out of hand. And he did apologize. I remember that, for getting so mad. But we all, that's just an example. I could give an example for myself. It's safe to give it from him. But we all know of examples where we were not long-suffering and we lost it, when really it was not over a very important matter at all. And being reminded that what really counts, being reminded of the things that really count from God's Word time and again, and that's so helpful, isn't it? To help us learn to be long-suffering, to keep things in focus properly. The Holy Spirit, by this means, helps promote also the fruit of long-suffering in our lives. Praise God through His Word and through His sacrament. God Triune reminds us of what is all important, trusting and serving Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, knowing Him and walking with Him. That's what counts more than anything. The Spirit teaches us, teaches God's people, also through trials and setbacks, God can often work wonderful things. He chastises those whom He loves to make us more shining gems to His praise. Tribulation by God's fatherly hand produces perseverance or steadfast patience, and perseverance character, and character hope. Says Paul, yes, hope and character and good things because of the love of God poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That love that never disappoints and that always satisfies, as Paul describes further in Romans 5. That always, you could say, provides a table for us in our wilderness journey, regardless the situation or circumstance, and all for Jesus' sake alone. If trials are meant to lead you to the table, to draw more from our Savior, isn't that good even? So it is by Spirit-led faith, and by giving self-knowledge, and by showing us Christ in His glory and beauty, and with trials and struggles where we so need the Lord, that the Holy Spirit works this fruit of long suffering in life's journey. He works it through His Word and in His love, by means also of other people, Christians and non-Christians. Sometimes in God's hand, the most irritable people for us can be the very means of grace to refine our characters and to have us grow in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Not putting our confidence in people, but in the Lord, our Savior. When the psalmist speaks of affliction being profitable for him by God's leading, often it is also profitable in this sense that he meant it makes us long-suffering in life, more patient, with a godly patience before God and over against others in stressful situations. Ultimately and repeatedly, this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is a fruit that by the Spirit is found and growing in our lives, especially when living in union and communion with Christ as Savior and Lord, and having His Word as a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. The Lord's Supper today is meant to strengthen and to guide and to nourish us, that as confessing Christians, we be flourishing and blossoming in the fruit of the Spirit, also this fruit of being long-suffering in all our ways and in all our relationships and in all our challenges. Well, is this fruit of long-suffering something you have growing in the garden of your heart and life, younger or older? Do you want this fruit to be evident in your life? And not just a little bit, but abundantly, and to be growing? Does not the fruit of the Spirit grow and flourish with you and me also asking for this fruit in our lives? By God's grace, to God's praise, and in Christian witness to others? The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Do you ask for the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Also this fruit of long-suffering. Being long-suffering is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and how opposite it is of the way of the world and sin. I don't have to tell you, the way of sin and this world and the natural man is so selfishly demanding and so short-tempered and so unkindly impatient. God, through the gospel of Christ and by the Holy Spirit ministering that gospel, is out to have sinners saved and sanctified, so that we be renewed and transformed into beautiful people. Beautiful people. Living to the praise of God and for the well-being of others. Only with the Lord is there this hope of renewal and transformation of life for us, for you and me, and of eternal life hereafter. Only with the Lord. How important that also all here be convinced of this and seek the Lord while He may be found, and that you call upon Him while He still offers peace and pardon, while He is yet near. The fact is, God's long-suffering towards sinners will one day cease. We know that. The day of grace and His long-suffering is extended still for us today, but tomorrow it could be too late for any one of us, or even all of us. What a terrible thing to meet the Lord still unsaved, never having come in humble submission to Christ the Savior, who with so much long-suffering calls out to you and to me week after week, day after day. All day long have I stretched forth my hands to rebellious and disobedient people, we read in Romans 10 verse 17, God says. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 1, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Will everyone here take this most seriously? Don't count on God's long suffering, wrongly presuming it will always just be there, of course. That somehow you are entitled to it even. No, we deserve only always left to ourselves God's wrath immediately and completely. But today is yet the day of salvation and still the time of God's long suffering towards us, where He calls us to come to Him and to draw from Him and to follow Him. Don't despise God's long suffering or presume on it a single day longer. I urge every person here. How many have perished in sin forever, not considering as they should have God's long suffering towards them? Those who are Christians by God's grace can be known in that they not only have and do respond to God's long suffering towards them in Christ Jesus, but by God's grace they also begin to reflect and to show something of the fruit of the Spirit, also this fruit of long suffering in their lives. And here let us ask our fourth and last question. Why and how is it important to have this fruit of long suffering? And the answer should be obvious. Being long suffering towards others and before God shows so much humility before God and the grace and graciousness of God. And it means actually living in faith and reliance upon God. As I said, this fruit of long-suffering is in relationship with faith and reliance upon God. Being long-suffering in and through the Lord and His strength, also trusting also His providence and His promises. You know what? That's such a spiritual quality that brings honor to the Lord. And it's attractive to others. It makes the Christian faith attractive to others. Whereas, if you live life demonstrating the opposite of being long-suffering, that's negative. That doesn't bring attraction to the gospel. Have you ever been drawn to a person who easily gets upset with other people in difficult situations, who quickly becomes angry and bitter, resentful? No, it makes us uncomfortable when dealing with a person with a short fuse. And without the fruit of long suffering under trials and in difficult situations. But when a person has the fruit of long suffering, we say, wow, what makes this person tick? What enables this person so to live? Being so calm and so trusting and so gracious, even in this difficult trial and in this hard relationship and in this challenging circumstance that he or she is in. Oh, being long-suffering promotes also others enduring to the end. As we see you be long-suffering, it's encouraging for us as we continue life's journey, seeing other Christians be long-suffering in their situation. It helps in helping us all keep on keeping on by God's grace and through His Spirit and Word, having Him as our guide and refuge. How often, too, I think you will agree, God's people in life's journey, they find out. Failing to be long-suffering often leads to foolish responses and even embarrassing situations. How much we can say and how we can react so wrongly and shamefully sometimes. Whereas having this fruit of being long-suffering often will prove to bring so much praise to God, and it will be of so much good for others. Philip Keller wrote in a little book that he has on the fruit of the Spirit, quote, "Even the most difficult people, drowned in despair, lost in their own selfish self-centeredness, will gain hope when they find someone who will be patient and persevere with them and who will pray for them unceasingly and be long-suffering towards them." And that's true. How encouraging that can be when we can be that way with each other. How much good it does. I'll tell you this. For those of you who are married, how much good it does in the marriage bond when as husband and wife, you be long-suffering towards each other. A lot of trouble comes when we're not long-suffering towards each other. How wonderful when we may compete in our marriage with being long-suffering. Then you'll have a good marriage. How much trouble can result when we fail to be long-suffering? Yes, in marriage and in family life and also in church life. How often church life can become not pleasant when people fail to be long-suffering with one another. Let us not live together as walking through a field of landmines, but as those who know Christ and have His Spirit and seek to know and grow in the fruit of the Spirit, also the fruit of long-suffering. Again, by being long-suffering, we don't mean tolerating sin or excusing what's wrong, but it means dealing with what's wrong and whatever may be not right in a gracious, non-judgmental, very humble, kind, firm, Christ-like manner. The fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, being long-suffering. Let's make it easy for others to be long-suffering towards us, and let's be committed to be long-suffering towards others, however hard it might be. The fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, being long-suffering, most patient one with another, and under trials and hardships that come our way. Do you need to grow in being long-suffering? Who doesn't need to grow in this? Long-suffering being the fruit of the Spirit, there is reason why we can have hope in growing in this. And there's no reason why anyone can't have and grow in this fruit. Looking to Jesus and calling upon Him for His mercy and His grace. Not only unto salvation, but in the way of salvation, in the way of sanctification, even till our final breaths. And think again when you are discouraged about being long-suffering. Think again of Christ and the fullness of His endless long-suffering towards us, and be refreshed and equipped and encouraged for all the long-suffering you need, ever abiding in Him and living for Him. You may receive from Him. In eternity, I have to think about this, the fruit of long-suffering won't be necessary anymore. Isn't that neat? In eternity, long-suffering won't be needed anymore. That's the most encouraging gospel truth, isn't it? What a motivation to keep on keeping on in being long-suffering here and now in our brief earthly wilderness journey. Those in hell can't know or show this grace of long-suffering at all, and will never do so either. All the redeemed in heaven won't need this grace at all. For in glory, there will be no more suffering of any kind and no patient needed anymore either. There will be nothing stressful or anyone irksome or anything or anyone troublesome there. Never, ever. Oh, even thinking of that blessed prospect can help us be long-suffering here and now with this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, and to pray for it more and more, looking to Jesus as our Savior and Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, Christian long-suffering. Is it a fruit growing in your heart and life by God's grace? To whom might you show this fruit today and this week? A whole lot more than you have and should have. Will you show it prayerfully and to God's praise and for the well-being of your neighbor? It means living with a lot less regrets too, and with much more pleasure in life all around, and promotion of good. Those who have the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, are people who become a genuine and gracious force for God and for good in this world, impacting many people in a Christian way and to God's praise, promoting an atmosphere, as one put it, of, quote, stimulating harmony and inspiring helpfulness and holy gospel zeal. Lord, I want to be used by You. Fill me with Your Spirit that I may promote stimulating harmony and inspiring helpfulness and holy gospel zeal. Don't we see this exactly also in the early church of Acts? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what reasons, congregation, to take this matter most seriously then. And even so, let us encourage each other in this gospel way and praise God triune for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering too. Amen. God, fall fresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us. And help us, Lord, to live to Your praise. As confessing Christians, that others may know we serve a living Savior who prepares a table in the wilderness till journey's end, even through the valley of the shadow of death, and that to know Him and to belong to Him is life eternal. Lord, help us to give this testimony also by giving evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, being long-suffering under trials, and in relationships, and in all our ways, in a God-honoring way, and in true love to our neighbor. Lord, bless Your word further by Your Holy Spirit. Forgive all that which was sinful, even in our most holy activities. We pray for the congregation here, for the consistory with the elders meeting. Remember the congregation when they also consider calling a man, and when they consider buying a piece of land. Lord, will You guide all these things, and also in this the congregation may show the fruit of the Spirit in all their ways. Lord, hear our prayer and guide us in Your mercy and grace. We ask it not because we deserve it, but for Jesus' sake alone, in whose name we pray. Amen.